Again, dear listening audience, it's time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I love doing these shows. I was just telling Brother Chip Collins that a minute ago. I love it so much. 10 years now on this station, almost. On Easter Day, we will have our 10th anniversary. And 15 years total for me in radio, starting up in Indiana when I pastored up there and had a Sunday morning show, a 30-minute one. That was a short one, up on a couple stations, one in Muncie, Indiana, and one in Anderson, Indiana. And those ran for 5 years, and I think that's where I got the radio bug. Brother Chip and I were just talking about that. I think I got the radio bug back then. Even though we had to record on big reel-to-reel recorders. Do any of you remember those great big reels? It was certainly not like it is in this day and age, which we love all this technology and how much easier it makes our podcasts, our recordings, everything. We are grateful for the technology now. So, we'll talk more about it during the show, but Easter Sunday, coming up in just a few weeks, is the day. This was not planned. It's accidental, but yet nothing with God is accidental, is it? So this was totally God, and it was 10 years ago, this April the 16th, 17th, that we started our show, first show here on TanTalkNetwork.com. And here we are celebrating a 10th anniversary, and it comes out on Easter Sunday. Man, if that isn't cool and wonderful, how God does things. So who would have thought? And we certainly didn't project ahead 10 years from the day of our first show here to see when it was going to be our 10th year anniversary. And we were as shocked as everybody else when we figured all that out just a few weeks back. So, you're going to have to definitely catch us that day. We're going to have some special guests. We're going to have some of our radio team that will be on with us, several of them. It's going to be a great day, and we're going to be celebrating 10 years on the air, Easter Sunday, 3 o'clock, right here, TanTalkNetwork.com. And today on the show with me is Betty Thomas from Indiana and Dr. Angel Falzoni from right here in our Tampa Bay area, and so they will be joining me momentarily, and we'll be chatting, and we've got some great word to talk to you about today. We started a new series last week. Last Sunday's show, if you missed it, can be found right here on the podcast on our TanTalkNetwork.com, and you can go right there and go to the show Living the Good Life, and you'll find last week's show. And it's so cool that we have that ability to be on podcast. Angel, is that you?
This is me.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a text from Betty. She'd be on at 3:15. So we will look forward to her joining us in a little while. And Dr. Angel, I don't know if you just heard my intro, but talking about our 10-year anniversary for Living the Good Life on Easter Sunday, which is going to be a great day. We're excited about that. 10 years on the air is pretty cool, don't you think?
That's pretty amazing. Yes, it is.
And why don't you, while we have this opportunity, talk about the other show that we do every week on Thursday nights that features you and me. And take it from there, Dr. Angel, and tell us all about it. And we've been on the air how long?
Go Yard. We have been on the air about 2.5 years. And
yes.
We are a life coaching radio show helping you to live life and live it well, featuring you and me. And it's been an amazing run. We, you know, we really have taken a lot of really difficult life topics and given people practical life tools to use to help them get unstuck when they're kind of stuck.
Right. Yeah. And Go Yard means hit a home run. It's a baseball slogan. Explain how that relates to our show, Doctor, and why it is so important that people take time to listen to this one-hour show, if at all possible.
Well, yes, Go Yard is hitting the home runs of life. And, you know, a lot of us are living life, but we're kind of existing, and we get stuck, and we're not quite living to our full potential and our purpose. And so that is what the premise of Go Yard is about. It's about helping us to live life with purpose and passion to our full potential.
Amen. And, you know, I don't know about you, Doctor, but I tell you, every week I look forward to doing that show with you. And so many times we just do those shows right from the, you know, just right off the top of our head with no outline or anything. Sometimes we have outlines. But it's amazing to me the amazing numbers of topics that we've covered in the last 2.5 years and how those are so important and on our website for people to go back and listen to. Do you want to address all that?
Absolutely, yes. We have taken on a lot of difficult topics, anything from relationships to dealing with stress, anxiety, domestic violence, you know, parenting. It's been very broad spectrum of topics we've tackled. And all of those shows are available on podcast on the GoYard2014.org website. And they're titled, and someone can go back and find that show that kind of deals with where they're at and kind of get some great tools to help them.
Oh, yeah. It's so good that we can title them on our website. And, like, if you miss one, say this Thursday night, you can go back here on the station and tantalknetwork.com and go to the podcast, go to Go Yard, because our webmaster puts them on the website at the end of each month. So if it's during the month and you want to hear a show again, just come here to tantalknetwork.com and go to podcast and go to Go Yard. And so what's our goal for that show, Doctor, before we get to a song here? I just want to give you an opportunity to talk more about it. We don't talk about it as much as I'd like us to because it's such an important show and will help so many if we can get people listening more, even though we do have a lot of people that listen. We certainly do. And we find that out when we have our question and answer shows. But go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the whole purpose behind that show is just to give people, letting them know, first of all, we all go through difficulties and we all struggle, and it's just kind of part of life. And there are some ways to help us get unstuck and tools to help us do things more successfully instead of feeling beat down and battered by life.
Right.
And that's really the whole intent of that show, is just to get in. We really tear apart a topic in great detail and really help our listeners to get out of that and get on top of that circumstance so they can be victorious.
Absolutely. And if you've never listened to a Go Yard show, then go to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcast, go to Go Yard. You can listen to last week. And, you know, there's just so much there. Because, Dr. Angel, you are a PhD, licensed mental health counselor. I'm obviously a pastor counselor for many years. But because of our experience, we use that, and especially your book knowledge, Doctor, to really help people with life's problems in all kinds of areas, right?
Absolutely. We do. We bring a ton of experience and knowledge and practical life skills and bring a lot to that show. And I think it's an amazing show. And we definitely get a lot of great feedback from listeners and individuals who are like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Or this really helped me. And so I am glad that it's helping, and I'd love to see it help more people.
Absolutely. This year, one of our goals is to do some workshops, get out in the community, and really talk about our show. And we ordered several hundred little baseball stress balls with our name and show address on it. And this coming Saturday, you and I will be at Tampa Pride in Ybor City, correct? Most of
yes,
the day.
Yes, we will be. So yes, we will be setting up our booth, and people can come by and say hi and
meet us.
Yes, get a stress ball.
Right, meet us, get acquainted. We'll give you some literature, and so if you're in the Tampa Bay area, this is just one of many events we are going to try to do this coming year. Workshops and a lot of other ideas that we have for getting the show out there in the public as much as possible. So if you hear of an event that you think would be good for Go Yard to go and sponsor and be a part of, please let us know, because we want to do that this year, don't we, Doctor?
Absolutely. It's totally the goal this year, is just getting this show into so as many people can benefit from the show as possible.
Exactly. I'm glad we had this moment. I'm so glad we had this time together. Anyway, to really talk about Go Yard more, you know, than we normally get a chance to do. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area and you want to come out to Tampa Pride Saturday, we'll have a booth there. Otherwise, we will keep you informed when we're out in the community doing workshops. And please tune in every Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. right here on this network. And let us... you know, tune in and call in. This is a call-in show. So it's a good opportunity for you to call and say, hey, what'd you mean by that, doctor? Or help me with this example. Because you're willing to give advice right there on the phone, aren't you?
Absolutely. And we love it when we have call-ins and if people participating. They have great questions or great comments to add to the topic. And it makes it a little more fun when we have some feedback. So I love it when people call in.
All right. Okay. Betty, you just joined us, didn't you? Just see, you're on.
I am here.
All right. We just spent the last few minutes talking about Go Yard in greater detail than we normally get to do or allow ourselves to do. So we're going to have a wonderful show today, girls. We're going to start off with a song, Whom Shall I Fear? I love it. It's a Chris Tomlin song. It is an amazing song. We'll talk more to Betty and Angel in a moment.
Darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the air.
Praise God, you hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on. We serve the living God, the God of the angel armies. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be on the air worldwide right this moment. And in the future, as other people listen at a later time, Lord, you get the glory and the praise for what's going to happen here on this show. It is all about you, mighty God. It is all about your power, your ability to change our lives and work in the midst of our circumstances. God, we come humbly before you and ask you to anoint this show in a mighty way. The words that we speak, the concepts that we teach, the music that we play, let it all, God, be exactly what you want for this show this day, and we'll give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God of the angel armies, whom shall I fear? Betty, we're not going to fear anybody or anything that the devil throws our way, are we?
No, because he is our fortress, he's our shield.
Amen.
Nothing can stand against us when
Amen.
We stand behind us in the name of Jesus.
Oh, praise God. So very true. We're going to John chapter 11 today, and before we get there, I want to talk for a second about this new series, Free to Live, because a lot of people live, but they don't seem to be really living. And Dr. Angel, since you are a resident PhD, I'm going to ask you to explain what I just said.
Well, you know what it is they're just kind of existing. They're taking what life hands them. They're not, you know, they're just feeling beat up and exhausted and sometimes just really overwhelmed, you know. And so when we are living, we are on top. You know, we might be going through difficulties and struggles, but we know we're the victor at the end and we're taking them on. As conquerors, we'll take them on instead of the defeated one.
That's exactly right. Because we serve a God that we know is the God of the angel armies. And if he needs to use his angels to come down and help us in a situation, he can and he will. And Betty, how good is it to know that there is nothing that we should fear, even though some of us do struggle with fear?
Well, God has not given us a spirit of fear.
There you go.
A sound mind.
2 Timothy 1:7. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Because fear does not come from God.
Right.
Fear is brought on by the enemy. And sometimes when we're at a weak point in our life, that's when the devil strikes us. And he tries to put this level of fear in us. But again, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Absolutely. And, you know, excellent, excellent point. And from both of you, do you know that, I don't know if you both can figure it out, but I'm super fired up for this show today. Can you guys figure that out? Can you tell that? You know, it's because it's just been welling up within me all day and really all week. The power of God in working in our lives, and we're going to see it here in John 11 today, even when circumstances don't look good and don't seem to be going in our favor, if we learn to say, God, I know you've got a plan. Maybe I can't see it right this moment. Maybe I don't understand what it is, but I know that you have a plan and it's going to work out perfectly. And in your timing, talk to me about that, Betty, and then we'll go to Angel about that.
Well, God's timing and our timing sometimes don't match. So
right.
It becomes a point where we have to stand by faith.
Right.
And understand that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in us. And
right.
That we have that power at our beck and call.
Yes.
And I think a lot of us are leery of when you say, well, you know, we don't have the same power that God has. No, maybe we don't, but when we talk, we pray, and we ask.
Right.
If we ask anything in his name, it shall be given to us.
Amen.
Given to us.
Yes.
So it's one of those things where you have to have faith. That faith, the peace that passes all our understanding is ours for everybody. It's not just for me or for you, Pastor, or for Dr. Angel. It's available to all of us.
Absolutely. Woo, right on. Dr. Angel, will you want to take that and comment on that? Woo.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, and it's true. And God's timing and human timing are completely different because God sees everything, not just everything in the circumstance that we're in, but from the beginning to the end of time is in the span of his vision. Whereas our vision is very microscopic, and we just get little bits and pieces. And so, you know, he's got a grand big picture, and we have to trust that what he wants is good for us, that God wants good things for us, and that he will move and open things on the right timing, not just for this one tiny situation we're in, but for the whole theme of our purpose, the grand picture of who we are.
Wow. So true. So very true. And so here we are in John 11, and Jesus, when he walked this earth for and he ministered for 3 years, he developed a lot of friendships, and I think that is really cool. And, Doctor, you and I are going to do a show soon on the value of friendship, aren't we? And, you know, Jesus is a great example of that. You too, Angel, Betty, you're both very close friends of mine. Some of the closest friends I have in this entire world are the two of you. And I value our friendship. And Jesus had a relationship with a man named Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And in John 11, a man was sick. It was this Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oils and then wiped them with her hair. We know she did this a few days later, right before his burial, which is very interesting. So we see Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, these brother and two sisters, being very close friends of Jesus, but also being very much in sync with the ministry of Jesus. And it was her brother, Lazarus, who was so sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Master, the one you love so very much is sick." When Jesus got the message, he said, "Oh my gosh, let's go right now. I got to do something about this." Is that what he said, Betty? Are you there, Betty? Betty?
Are you there?
Yeah, we didn't hear you.
Sorry, I'm having some technical difficulties here.
Okay.
I think one of the things.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the things that brought Jesus and Lazarus so close together was that Lazarus believed in what what the Lord was doing.
Right.
He followed him. He followed his ministry, and both. Lazarus and Jesus, I think they had a connection.
Oh yeah.
Through the Holy Spirit, and
that's very true.
I think Lazarus, from way back when, Lazarus was very faithful to Jesus. I think it was someone that Jesus could really talk to and he could confide in. And again, I think they had that camaraderie in the Spirit.
Yeah.
To be able to understand and be able to accentuate each other in an instance. Like when Lazarus became sick, Jesus was like, "Okay, yeah, I'll be there. Let's, you know, have faith. I'm coming. I'm on my way." You know, it wasn't one of those things where he had to get in an ambulance and drive and run quickly. He knew. He already knew what was happening.
He already knew it. But it's interesting that he didn't drop everything and run. I find that fascinating. Angel, talk to us about that. Jesus got the message in verse 4 of John 11, and he did not jump and run right then, did he, Angel?
No, he sure did not. In fact, we'll learn a little bit longer that he decided to stay for two more days where he was at, and it seems like a very unusual response considering the close friendship that they had.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, when we're having a difficult, I mean, this was a big deal. Like, he was, you know, really, really sick, and Jesus is like, "Nope, I know this is, he's not going to end in death, and this is going to be an opportunity for God to be glorified, and I'm going to keep working for a couple more days here." Very weird response in the human eyes, and that's that difference between God's purpose and our microscopic view.
Isn't that the case? And we know a little bit about this relationship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We know that Mary, a lot of times, was the servant. She was the one that was always cooking the meals, taking care of the house, taking care of her brother and her sister. And you can almost envision that and picture all that. You can picture them around a big table, which they always laid down to eat. So there were pillows. They reclined. That was the custom at that time. You can picture Lazarus and Jesus just sitting there joking, telling jokes, having a good time through the years. They were close friends. Martha's in the kitchen preparing everything. But Mary, I want you to talk to me a minute about Mary before I play this song, Betty. What was different about the heart of Mary?
She had a heart for Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
She had the heart. I don't know whether this makes sense or not, but she had the heart of a servant.
Oh, she did, yeah.
That she would give even her most expensive oil to rub on his feet.
Right.
I believe she was a giver.
Yes.
And that makes the heart of a servant so special. And I think that's what Jesus saw through her, was her willingness to step outside the box.
Yeah.
And be the person that the Lord saw her to be. And you know, maybe in other people's eyes, they didn't see that. But Jesus did see it, and he saw it through his own eyes, and he knew. He knew exactly what kind of a woman she was because of her ability to do things that no one even else thought about.
Well, absolutely. Martha was the one cooking and doing those kinds of serving things. But Mary's role was different. It had to do with worshiping and seeing who Jesus really was. I want to play this song right here. I think it's a perfect place. I stumbled on it this week and thought, oh, that fits. Alabaster Box, C.C. Williams. Maybe you both know this song. It is truly perfect right here.
Folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said her, as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, and I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. In my alabaster box, I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound, and I spent into a little treasure box. Came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I've come to don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. My hair, you are there. The night Jesus found me, you did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
Praise God. Love that. Praise God. Praise God. I love that song. Just talks about the worship that Mary was doing. Actually, I think this song is referring to Mary Magdalene a few chapters before. And the one who many thought was a prostitute and really saw the light and changed her life and worshiped Jesus. But at any rate, we know this Mary also did the very same thing, massaged Jesus' feet and used her hair and oil and worshiped him. And the point here is simply that this was the environment where Jesus is going to go into an environment where Lazarus, Martha, and Mary love him like a brother and adore his ministry and believe he is the Son of God. I don't know about you two, but that music just really was really, really good. Betty, do you want to comment on that before we go to Angel here too?
Yeah, you know what? It's so significant, especially, you know, starting into this time of year, because the people that, that worship the Lord, that, again, she gave the most expensive thing that she had at that point. But Jesus saw her heart.
Yes.
And I think it was in through compassion. You know, Mary liked to sit at Jesus' feet.
Yeah.
And I know in some aspects, pardon me, I think she was one of Jesus's so-called disciples, or who followed him most, you know, very closely, and she, it's just, I think what Jesus saw in her is what moved him the most.
Yeah.
Is he saw the beautiful things that she did out of compassion,
right?
And I think a lot of times that's what draws people. Is people's compassion
yes.
for their love for
yes.
mankind,
yes.
and the love for her, you know, for Martha, and for the love of Lazarus too.
Oh yeah,
it's just such a compelling story of what can happen when you have faith and that you follow Jesus so closely that you know he holds the tears that you cry in his hand, and it's just. This story has always blown my mind because
it's great.
Of what it signifies.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Everything in the Bible has significance, but this, it just moves you to tears when
it does.
It. Someone has that much love for the
yes.
Lord.
It's yes,
just, it's amazing. Blows my mind.
Totally. And then we look and we see the response of the disciples when Jesus says, we're going to go back to Judea. And they go, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you. And you can't go back. And Jesus, you know, basically rebukes them and says, no, that's what I have to do. Verse 11 of John 11, he said these things, and then he announced, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to go wake him up. The disciples took him literally there in verses 12 and 13 of John 11. If he's gone to sleep, he's going to get a good rest. He'll wake up feeling good. And Angel, this wasn't what Jesus was talking about at all. It wasn't about Lazarus was taking a nap and was tired, was it?
No, Lazarus had died.
Yeah, he had died, yeah.
And absolutely, yeah, and they totally misunderstood. And I think maybe part of the misunderstanding was the fact that Jesus kind of stayed in that town a couple more days.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, wasn't rushing to it, so they didn't feel like this was something of urgency.
Right. But doesn't this also show that he was God Almighty, because he knew Lazarus was already dead? And no, I mean, they didn't have cell phones or texting or telephones or even Morse code. They had no way to deliver that message. And when the disciples said, wait a minute, if he's resting, he'll wake up feeling better. And Jesus goes, no, I'm sorry, he's dead, you know? And I mean, he knew it in his gut, if you so to speak, in his heart. He knew it. And Angel, he was talking about death, and Lazarus has died. I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. Now, explain that, Angel, and then we'll go to Betty for explanation there. Why is Jesus happy that they were not there when Lazarus died?
Because Jesus knew the big picture here.
Yeah.
He knew what was going to happen from beginning to end. It was, you know, the infinite view, and he had that. And he's knowing that what they're getting ready to witness and experience and be a part of, and how miraculous that is, and showing the amazing mighty hand of God on the situation.
You know, that you are so right on. And I want to talk about this big picture thing in our lives here for a moment, because that is the God we serve. He is all powerful, which is omnipotent. He is all present everywhere at the same time. We see that right here in this story, omnipresent. He is all knowing. We see that right here in the story. Omniscient is the word for that. And he is all of it at the very same time. We can't even wrap our minds around that Jesus knew what was going on over there in Bethany. Nobody had told him, but he knew, he saw it with the eyes of his heart. Talk to me about this, Betty. The God we serve is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipotent. It's the best way to pronounce that. Not omnipotent, but I like it, makes the point. So talk to us, Betty, about all of this. All-knowing, big picture plan.
Well, he is the designer.
The designer and the engineer
of our lives. And when we have that close walk with him, it shows in this particular picture is that the Heavenly Father had talked to him, I'm sure, through prayer, and told there's going to be something going on in Bethany, and I kind of, you know, he should give you a heads up here. That's in Betty version. That it comes down to believing. It comes to the point of having faith. And
right
Jesus,
on.
I mean, Jesus is the walking testimony of what happens. The guy that makes the decisions, the guy who
yeah.
has our lives in his hands.
Yes, he does.
If he knows every hair on our head, don't you think that he understands what you're going through at this present
yes.
time?
Yes.
He knew what Mary and Martha were going through.
Right.
But he was trying to build their faith to say, hey, you know, you trusted me in this. Now you've got to trust me in that.
Absolutely.
And it's a thing where I'm sure it may be worry set in, fear set in. It's like, he's dead. Why can't Jesus come back and raise him up? Well, again, that stirs within us the Holy Spirit
right.
to
start believing. Start understanding that God is our friend. The Lord will help you through, and he's going to help Mary and Martha through this.
Right.
And in the end, he helps Lazarus. So
right.
again, take us out of the scenario. Put Jesus in charge, and things will get done.
Oh, you're exactly right on. Angel, why is it that so often that when we're in the middle of a crisis as human beings, we don't trust that God can see the big picture? We are only so concerned about the moment we're in. Can you address that, Angel?
Well, yeah. As humans, we get tunnel vision.
Right.
And we can only see that pain or that worry or that anxiety of the moment that we're in. And
right.
We can't see really beyond that or outside of that. And so our vision kind of tunnels in, and we're only looking on this very one thing that we're going through, and we can't see that there is a grand picture, there is a plan, there is more outside of us. That's where people kind of tunnel into depression and anxiety, is that tunnel vision where they're just seeing this negative problem in the moment.
I totally agree, and that's why I started this show with the song, Whom Shall I Fear? Because when you think about that, it's the circumstances, the outcomes that we think might happen. What if this happens that we are so afraid of? And that song that we started the show with, Whom Shall I Fear? He's God of the Angel Armies. And I'm learning this in my life every day. I know you two probably are too. That when we trust him and realize he sees the big picture in our situation, then the fear has to take a back seat to faith. Talk to me about that, Betty.
Dr. Angel was talking. It's almost like I have horses, and sometimes when you have to put blinders on them,
it keeps
them from seeing from side to side.
Right, yeah.
Because in that aspect, I think Jesus does the same thing to us in a spiritual way, is that he doesn't want us looking to the left or to the right,
mm-hmm.
because those circumstances can overwhelm us.
That's right.
But once we have the blinders on, like they put on a horse, and this is in the spiritual realm, not that we wear blinders.
Right.
Is that he wants us looking straight ahead.
Yes.
He wants us to keep our focus on him.
Right.
And not on the circumstances.
This is so totally and completely true. Betty, when I was up in Indiana in October and we preached the revival there, and what a blessing that was, I taught this whole concept of the fact that we need problems in our lives. And I think that kind of resonated with you, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, the problem, the promise, and the provision.
There you go. And what I'm going to say right now is a quote from Graham Cook. And he says, in order for faith to grow, we need problems. You need a problem, dear listener, in order for your faith to grow. Angel, explain that to me, and then we'll go to Betty for an explanation of that concept. In order for your faith to grow, you need a problem, dear one.
Well, if we don't have a problem and we don't have things to worry about, then we can handle it in our own strength and our own power, because things are good and life is going smoothly and we're not in need of reaching out in that, or we don't think we're in need of that higher power, the God in our life, to reach out and intervene, because everything's just fine and dandy. And when we have a problem, that means we tend to reach out more. We need help to get through it. It's something that we can't handle in our own power most of the time, and we need to trust and let God hand us through it and take us through it.
Exactly right. And if we don't have the problems, how are we going to grow? Which is the point, Betty, right? I mean, we did that blow your mind, Betty, looking at it that way in October at the revival?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've sat under your teachings for quite a few years, and this is probably one that, I'm not saying that none of them have registered, but the one back in October has stuck with me religiously, and it's because we have to learn to trust in God's power.
Right, we do.
When you you preach this when your own power is gone.
Right.
And when we do have a problem, that's when we have, I think, that will draw us closer to God.
Right.
Because you're asking him, okay, I thank you, Jesus, that you've allowed me to endure this fire, through this trial, tribulation, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But I'm going to trust you, just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego did. I'm going to trust you when I'm in the fire, because you're right there with me. And you say, well, but I don't see him. I can't see him. I don't hear from him. What am I doing? I'm here in the midst of a trial and a tribulation. Whether you realize it or not, dear listener, is that God is with you all of the time. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And we have to thank him, because it is teaching us to grow through this problem.
Isn't it?
And
isn't it?
You know what? It's tough. It is sometimes. I mean, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've became more aware of Jesus' presence since October in my life than I ever have for a long, long, long time. And it teaches me to trust him. It makes my faith grow in him, because I have to trust him, because I can't do this problem on my own.
Right.
And it seems like right after the radio ministries on Monday, you know, we get hit with one
sure
thing
do.
After another.
Pray for us on Mondays. Man, Mondays are tough.
We get the buckets dropped on us, and it's because we're under attack.
Right. The devil doesn't like this show.
No. And so, but that's where Dr. Angel and Pastor Marcia is. It's tough. When you said that in October, that's a tough thing to swallow. It's like, but you don't understand. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He fully understands that, you know, if you have a fire going in your life, he's going to be the extinguisher that's going to put it out.
Oh, amen.
You're not going to do it. He's going to be the one that does it. Sorry for that reference, but.
No, that's true.
We have to trust in him.
So if you want your faith to grow, dear listener, you need a problem, okay? Because if you never have a problem, your faith is never going to grow, because you don't need God to answer. You don't need anything if you never have a problem. Here's the second part of that. If you have a problem, start thanking God now for the answer and the provision, because every problem comes with a provision attached to it. Every problem comes already with a provision attached to it. This problem that Lazarus, Mary, and Martha have in John 11 of Lazarus getting sick and then dying before Jesus could get there, that's a huge problem. But guess what? That problem came with an attachment. It came with an attachment of a provision that God was going to do something and he would get glory. Because Jesus says there, you know what? Don't worry about this, because God's going to get glory here. God's going to get glory here. Angel, comment on all this, because I think this concept is fundamental to us growing up in God in our lives and becoming the soldiers, the ambassadors, the disciples that God wants us to be, when we realize we have to have problems or we're never going to have our faith increase. And if we have a problem, then we can start thanking God now, because we have a provision on the way. Talk to me, Angel.
I think what happens with us is God sends provisions, and they're not what we might exactly have expected in our finite view. And I think sometimes
disappointing provisions.
I think, you know, we have one idea of how it's, you know, God's going to work, and
right.
God may be working differently.
Like, right.
Working in that big picture. I mean, I remember being a kid and hearing the story about the guy who was out drowning in the ocean. He's like, Lord, save me. And then, like, a lifeboat comes, and the guy's like, oh, no, my God's going to save me.
Right.
And, like, a helicopter's dropping. No, God's going to save me. And he dies and goes to heaven. He's like, well, God, why didn't you save me? And God's like, I gave you a lifeboat. I gave you a helicopter.
Right.
What else did you want? You know, and I think we do that.
Yes, we do that. Because we have it preset in our head how God's going to do something. Right? And Mary and Martha had it already figured out that their brother had died, because Jesus was just such a slowpoke and couldn't get there quick enough to keep him from dying, couldn't lay his hands on Lazarus and raise him up. And because Jesus was a slowpoke, their brother had died, right? That's what they thought. And because it wasn't going the way they thought it should go. Oh, I got to play this song right now. And then we're going to talk more. Boy, Angel and Betty, we're having a great discussion about this. This song is Your Name by Paul Baloch. And what is the name? The name is Jesus. Love this song. Love this song. I play it a lot in my car.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that sees us through so much in our lives. I've heard it said, and I believe this from the bottom of my heart. When you can't think of how to pray in your given situation, speak the name above every name, the name Jesus. Whoa, talk to us, Betty. What a desperate situation Mary and Martha were in here when Jesus finally arrives, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. I guess if I was in that situation, I might feel the same way. Because, you know, any time that death is associated with a relative or whomever, it brings a note of sadness. And
yes, it's absolutely.
Just, sometimes it's hard to swallow. It's hard come to the realization that my brother hasn't fallen asleep. He's dead.
He's dead. Yeah.
And what
reality?
You know, yeah, it. Your that is a good word for that, because when that sets in, that the human part of us overcomes with sadness and grief. And oh, death, where is, you know, in the where it says, oh, death, where is your sting? It
right.
hurts.
Right.
It's mind blowing at times, because you think, how, you know, all he had to do is come and heal my brother Lazarus. I mean, you could almost hear him.
All he needed to do was not be such a slowpoke.
Yep, and waited two more days. And
right.
It's like, where is he? You know.
Yeah.
It's just that human part of us. But when the spirit takes over. And you have that conversation with God, when all you can say is just the name of Jesus,
right.
or Yeshua, whatever you call him, whatever he is to you, is that when he becomes so apparent in our lives? He becomes
amen.
Real. He becomes
amen.
The strength that we need to survive.
Whoa, amen. Woo, right on. Angel, talk to us about that before we get up here to the top of the hour. And we have to do our little thing, our station ID. But go ahead, Angel.
Oh, I think that there was probably a lot of really hurt personal feelings. Not only is the tragedy and the death of their brother, which is a really big deal because he was the head of the household and they were such close friends with Jesus. And I think in the human stance, it definitely easily could have been, you weren't there when we needed. You
yeah.
could have stopped this from happening.
Right.
You know, and that feeling of almost abandonment in that really desperate hour of need after all that, you know, Martha makes sure that his stay is comfortable and the food is there, and they, you know, they've invested in these relationships, and to feel like Jesus kind of let them down.
Exactly. And don't we feel that way a lot of times about people in our lives or situations, that God just didn't come through, or the people in our lives didn't come through, right? Don't we?
Absolutely, we do.
And from a clinical point of view, I think disappointment and despair are very, very common in people's lives, don't you think, Dr. Angel?
They are, and they cause a lot of really seriously hurt feelings
right.
and misunderstandings in relationships. They can tear them apart.
Right. Absolutely. Wow. Okay, we're going to talk much more about this in about 2 minutes, but before we get there and do our station ID, Betty, tell them about the prayer line and how. And I mean, it was so good to hear from the people in the Philippines this week and how God is using our prayer line around the world globally, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Write it down and use it. Everybody can use it. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Betty, it's you, Shell, and Pastor Jim, who are the prayer team captains that pick up all the requests and send out the prayers. You want to comment on that?
Yes, ma'am. And when we get those prayers, your requests, we type a prayer attached to it, and we join hands where two or three are gathered in his name, and we begin to pray together in one accord.
Right.
And it tremendous things have happened in the last few weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
We've
great
we've
answers
seen people
to prayer.
Set free. We've
yes.
seen, we've seen so much. And, you know, to get the prayer request from the gentleman in the Philippines about his mom,
yeah,
that we know that God's working,
yes.
not in just here, but
right.
he's working
globally.
Everywhere.
Absolutely.
So we encourage you to send in a prayer request. If you want to be part of the prayer team, you want to be a part of this powerful move of God through prayer, send us a request and say, hey, could you add me to your prayer list? Or if you have a prayer, no matter how big or how small, we will send it out and we will pray for your needs.
Yes. Prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Prayers@bohmglobal.com. We don't talk about money, but we invite you to be a partner with us for our radio shows that go out across the globe. Not only do we do this live on Sunday afternoon, and then it stays on podcast here, but we also have an agreement and a relationship with StarcomRadioNetwork.com, which is now in 55-plus cities across the United States and 8 countries. And Ed Till on StarCom Radio Network puts our shows every Saturday.